From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where our state senators have adjourned on day 40, meaning we are already two-thirds of the way through with this year's legislative session. There are just 20 working days remaining. State senators are moving quickly. Things are heating up, trying to get to more pieces of legislation. And there were several big developments this past week, starting with our Appropriations Committee advancing their final budget. It's a nearly $9 billion budget plan. It will be debated by the full legislature this week, starting on Tuesday. The budget raises spending only by 0.5% for the remainder of this fiscal year and next, and there are a number of big items in this budget that are sure to lead to some intense debate on the floor. Certainly cuts to higher education and the university, as well as the pro-life provision that has been led by Governor Ricketts to end taxpayer subsidies of abortion clinics by ensuring that Title X dollars are not used to fund abortion clinics. This has already caused a lot of debate, and if it goes the same way as it did last year when this was attempted, we will probably see a handful of pro-choice senators that are willing to basically blow up the entire budget and hold it hostage over this one provision. That's how badly they want to protect taxpayer funding of abortion clinics. Title X and this pro-life provision in the budget is the major pro-life initiative in the legislature this year. We have all of the information on this issue, what it is, how it works, what it would do, and why it matters over on the Nebraska Family Alliance website at nebraskafamilyalliance.org. Make sure you check that out so you're informed about the issue and contact your state senator and ask them to support the Title X provision in the state budget bill. It's hitting the floor this Tuesday, and this is our opportunity for pro-life Nebraskans to make their voice heard, because we are a pro-life state, and this is one of the most significant opportunities in recent memory to really help advance the pro-life cause and finally end the taxpayer subsidization of abortion clinics in our state. This past week, lawmakers also advanced a bill to require car seats for children up to age 7. LB 42, sponsored by Senator Hickelman of Omaha, would put babies and toddlers through age 2 in a rear-facing car seat, and children through age 7 would be required to be in the child passenger restraint system, and they would have to be in the back seat, no sitting in the front seat for anyone under age 8. Senators voted to advance this measure on a 36-3 vote. Senators also rejected one of the most unique proposals this year from Senator Shoemaker, a proposed constitutional amendment to create what he is calling a new city. Basically, this would be a sovereign area within the state of Nebraska that would not be bound to any of the taxes or laws in our state, with the idea being to generate economic development. However, most senators were not on board with this proposal of creating a sovereign area within our own state. That proposal failed on a vote of 19-19. This last week was also special because we had a special guest here in Omaha. Vice President of the United States Mike Pence was here. He came in for a special forum, which he spoke at first in Council Bluffs about tax reform and economic development. And then he made the trip across the river to Omaha to speak at a campaign fundraiser for Governor Pete Ricketts. It's always a special occasion when you can have the vice president here in our city. And it's, you know, Nebraska and Iowa have that connection, sharing a border. He was able to first visit Council Bluffs and then come over to Omaha. And our friends over in Iowa actually just last week had a major pro-life victory that I think is something that other states should begin looking to. The Iowa State Senate passed a heartbeat bill, which would ban all abortions after a heartbeat can be detected. This was really a historic moment for the state of Iowa and the pro-life movement in general. And one of the things I love most about Nebraska Family Alliance is that we are really part of a national movement to defend life and freedom and liberty and help protect family values. And that includes our sister organization in Iowa, the Family Leader, who for years have been one of the leading pro-life, socially conservative organizations in the entire country. I'm pleased to have with me on the show today a very special guest and good friend, the president and CEO of the Family Leader, Bob Vanderplaats, one of the leading voices for social conservative politics in the entire country. Bob, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, Nate, it's my pleasure. Thank you for what you guys do in Nebraska.
Of course. You know, we're sister organizations in the fight to advance family freedom and life, and we so appreciate the tremendous work you and your team do in Iowa. And first, I want to say congratulations on the Iowa State Senate passing a heartbeat bill, which would ban all abortions in Iowa after a heartbeat can be detected. I know you and your team worked tremendously hard to make that happen.
Well, we do have a great team, and it's spearheaded by our chief legal counsel, Chuck Hurley, and then the former Speaker Pro Tem, Danny Carroll, and Greg Baker, and they just have a lot of great team members down at the Capitol. You know, and our key issue is the sanctity of human life. We believe if you get life right, you're going to get a lot of other things right. If you don't get life right, you're going to get a lot of other things wrong. And we're pleased to tell you, Nate, in the past two legislative sessions, last year and now this year, we have passed more pro-life legislation in the state of Iowa than at any time since the absurd decision of Roe v. Wade. And this year we just took another step further, and that is saying, you know, the heartbeat, it's common sense. No individual has two heartbeats. If there is a heartbeat, that signifies a person. And the Senate agreed with us and voted overwhelmingly, 30-20, to pass heartbeat legislation out of the Senate, and now it goes to the Iowa House.
This is a really major piece of pro-life legislation. Do you think that this is evidence that this movement and the culture of life is growing both in Iowa and across the country?
Well, there's no doubt about it. First of all, I think in the United States of America, for sure, the great Midwest like Iowa and Nebraska, you know, we celebrate a culture of life. We don't celebrate a culture of death. And what's neat for us to see, we always say at the Family, we say, you know, God designed it, nature reveals it, and science will always back it up. Meaning if you have good science, it's going to back up God's design, God's creation, the way things were intended to be. And so now you're even getting secular universities like Harvard University saying life begins at conception. The science is becoming more and more evident about when life begins. And every one of us know that when there's a heartbeat, it signifies life. And so if there's a heartbeat, we should do everything we can in our power to be a culture of life, and that is to save that person's life.
Well, it's such a basic human fact, and when we can detect that heartbeat from the unborn, we know it's a human being's heartbeat. It's not like we don't know what it is. So it sounds so basic in principle, and that we would do everything to protect that life. So what exactly did it take from your team and other pro-life groups and legislators to get this bill through the Senate? I imagine you faced just a storm of opposition.
Yeah, we did. But I think there's just a couple of foundational things that that happened. One is it was a foundation of prayer. We've had a prayer community, prayer warriors praying for revival in this country, praying for God's righteousness to be upheld in our country. And so I think it's the fruit of prayer first and foremost. But I think it's been a lot of bold and courageous spirits, whether that be from our legislative team of the Family Leader or of senators and now House members who are willing to take a stand for the sanctity of human life. And what's interesting, Nate, is I sat in the Senate gallery watching this bill get debated. And I don't go to the Capitol very often. Our team's down there every day, but they only have me come when they think I should be there. And this is one of those days they thought I should be there. And I watched Senator Amy Sinclair talk about and give all the reasons why you want to pass this legislation, why Heartbeat makes sense. And it was a moving and emotional testimony. And I really thought, I really want to hear the opposition, because I don't know how you oppose this. And quite honestly, they had no argument. They went into, gun violence. They went into sexual harassment. They went into a lot of other issues, but they did not want to debate the heartbeat, because instinctively and intuitively, we know when there's a heartbeat, there's a life. And then we need to do everything we can to preserve and allow every one of those days to be lived out as God intended and ordained for them to be.
It really is a historic bill and badly needed across the country. So I was very encouraged, and I know our team was, to see that you were able to help shepherd that through the Iowa Senate. Now, unlike the rest of the country, Nebraska only has the one Senate body, our unicameral. But, of course, in Iowa, this now goes to the House. Can you tell us what sort of the prognosis is there, or the chances that this can get all the way to the governor's desk?
Well, we believe there's a real shot for this. Now, some of the House members don't have as bold and courageous of a spirit as what we saw in the Senate, which is almost a turnabout. Usually it's the House that's more bold and courageous, and the Senate's more, labored or judicious and, trying to act just thoughtfully. But the Senate is saying, no, we're going to take a stand here. And now the House really has to wrestle with it. But their peers sent them basically a tsunami of saying, here you go, we're here. And the only argument we're hearing, even from those that are with us on heartbeat legislation, is we're afraid it won't stand up in court. We're afraid as soon as we pass it, as soon as the governor signs it, 3 seconds later, it's going to be in the federal courts. And we're saying, amen, let it go. Let it go to court. Let's have the debate. Let's have the argument. Because if you remember in Roe v. Wade, the underlying argument for the abortionists, and they said if anybody could prove that that was a person, our argument collapses. Well, a heartbeat proves that that's a person, which means their argument's going to collapse. So we say, let Iowa lead. Let Iowa be the one to lead this charge about overturning Roe v. Wade. And I believe that the court makeup is going to be there, that they would say, yep, I think we would agree with you.
We're really at such a crucial point in our nation's history to deal specifically with this issue. Bob, do you think that there, as you just mentioned, is an opportunity for other states to look to what the Iowa Senate has done and try and come forward with similar measures?
Well, without question. And all we have to do is look back at how we got rid of slavery. And the slavery, the federal government wasn't the one that was leading, but it was state after state after state saying, we're done. We're not doing this anymore. We're outlawing slavery in our state. And so I think the more states step up, the more states speak out, the more states take a stand for the sanctity of human life. The federal government was always designed to be reactionary or responsive. And I think this is one of these times where the states need to lead. So I'd encourage all the states, all of our FPC peers, to really champion this type of legislation so we can have a unified front as we go to a Supreme Court.
Well, I know all the pro-life groups and family policy councils, including Nebraska Family Alliance, were very proud of you and your team in Iowa. So, Bob, let me ask you just on a personal level, this was such a historic moment. And so for you, as someone who has been such a key player in the pro-life movement for so long, what was that like for you to be there and witness this historic step taking place?
Well, there's no doubt. It was almost surreal. It was very moving, but it was just kind of surreal. And Chuck Hurley was sitting next to me in the Senate chambers in the gallery watching this. And Chuck had tears rolling down his cheeks. And this is why he got into politics. This is why he does what he does every day. And to see such a historic vote taking place. And then in the interviews afterwards, Danny Carroll, who's a part of our team, but was a former Speaker Pro Tem in the Iowa House, when he was being interviewed, he got choked up and he had to swallow his words because he could hardly talk. And what it is, it's just the power of the moment of we might really be at this point where we're going to take a stand for the sanctity of human life. And I believe it to my bones is that when we get this issue right, God can bless this country with a revival. God can bless this country with a lot of other things. But I don't see how God wants to bless a country that continues to kill and abort its babies.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And you mentioned kind of the difference that Christians can make by getting engaged and being involved in the political process. And I know something you have done as well as probably anyone else in the country is helping cultivate this grassroots movement in your home state of Iowa. What is it that you think helps get people's attention to draw them in, kind of wake the church up? What needs to happen for more people to step up and be engaged on these issues to try and make a positive difference for life?
Well, I think it's just one person making a decision that they're going to stand up and be counted. And the ripple effect of one person can impact a state like Nebraska or a state like Iowa or, frankly, a country. As we just saw with the passing of Billy Graham and his funeral being last week Friday, you know, what one person could do and the impact he could have across the world. It's not just of that one person, but it's God working through that person and then being an inspiration to others, to family members, to friends, of all saying, I'm going to take a stand. And so when I think things are happening, I really do believe we're seeing a revival in this country or seeds of revival in this country. I think that type of inspiration inspires others to say, I'm going to get involved. And so we'd encourage those who are listening to us in the great state of Nebraska to team up with your organization there in Nebraska. For those who hear about it in Iowa, to team up with the family leader in Iowa and across the country. But one by one, little by little, we can definitely have an impact.
You know, that's what's so special about being a part of this movement is it's really a nationwide movement. Bob, the next issue or topic I want to ask you about is a little bit different on the gambling issue and specifically the issue of constructing a casino in Carter Lake, Iowa. And just a little briefer for those who might not be familiar with this issue, Carter Lake, Iowa is on Nebraska's side of the Missouri River. It was originally in Iowa, and then 100 years ago, after some intense flooding, the river shifted and it left this little plot of Iowa on Nebraska's side. And to make matters more complicated, the Ponca Tribe of Nebraska has purchased 5 acres of land in Carter Lake, Iowa, on the Nebraska side of the river that they are intending now to construct a major 2,000 slot machine casino on. And of course, Nebraska has not legalized casino gambling, but it is legal in Iowa. Bob, you and your organization have opposed expanded gambling and casino gambling due to the harms to families. What would you recommend to policymakers and citizens as they consider this issue?
Well, first of all, I think for the citizens in Nebraska, I'd really encourage those that you know in Iowa to take a stand. And the way I understand it, it's the Attorney General in Iowa and his office who really could, you know, put a stop to this. And frankly, I think they want to put a stop to this. Gambling in Iowa has not been our friend. And we go back to scripture. I mean, I can see where Nebraska said, well, let's take advantage of the gambling here. And so that the revenues would come in here. And we would say, you know, don't be a stumbling block to your neighbor, Iowa to Nebraska. You know, don't be a stumbling block to your neighbor. It definitely wrecks individual lives. It wrecks families. It causes divorces, bankruptcies, suicides, and the list goes on and on and on, embezzlements. You would never want a factory like this in Omaha that would have this kind of a ripple effect. And so what they do is they try to sell usually the hotel, the golf courses, the amenities, the economic development, all that stuff. But what they never talk about is what it does to lives. And so we shine the light on that. And I think when the light is shown on that, people then can make a rational decision. So again, we're doing our part here. I know our team's also working with the Attorney General's office right now in the state of Iowa to say, let's don't do this to our neighbors in Nebraska. We don't want to be a stumbling block. We know all too well in Iowa what this does to individuals and to families, and it knows no demographic. So whether you're white, black, Indian, whatever it might be, or you're rich or you're poor, or you're a male or a female, or whatever it is, if you're young or you're old, it knows no demographic, but it feeds off of addicted behavior. And we're saying, let's don't do this to our people.
Well, I really appreciate your insight there. This is such an important issue. And so often the response we hear is that, well, they have casinos in Iowa, so we might as well have them too. So I think that's important for people to hear that perspective from someone in Iowa who has seen those effects. And Bob, my last question for you, I know you don't like this title because you're a very humble man, but you've been referred to by even Fox News and Wall Street Journal as the kingmaker in presidential elections because of the influential role that you and your organization play, with Iowa being the first state in the country to have a presidential primary. And you are extremely influential in that, and people listen to you and take your advice on who to vote for. So I'd love to just ask you, you know, as you're evaluating candidates and considering who you're willing to throw your support behind, what are the most important qualities that you're looking for in those candidates?
Well, first of all, I usually laugh out loud when I hear the word kingmaker, and it's one of those names that kind of stuck. And then people use it different times. Is, you know, we're not a kingmaker. We want to be a standard bearer. I mean, that's plain and simple. Whether the person wins or loses, we just want to hold up God's standard. And the biggest thing we're looking for is character. Is the person threaded with the character? Do we know that that person, when he or she goes to bed at night, and we put our heads to our pillow at night, do we believe that they will make the right decisions for our future? Will they seek God's kingdom first? Will they go to their knees and seek God's wisdom, insight, and leading? Will they pursue his righteousness, his principles, his precepts, meaning God's principles and precepts, that will actually bless a country? If the person is threaded with the right character, then what we want to do is we want to take a look at, is the person actually capable and competent to do the job? And if they don't have the character, there's no reason to go to how competent or capable they are. But then third is we label this one as chemistry, and that is, are they the right person for this time in America's history, in Iowa's history, Nebraska's history, whatever it is? Are they the right person at this time? And believe me, Nate, a lot of prayer goes into that. We spend a lot of time getting to know candidates, getting to know their families, and sitting down and eating with them and dining with them and having out to our events and those types of things. So we put a lot into that decision. But at the end of the day, it's not about, yeah, we won, so therefore we can say we're 4-for-4. It's more about, did we uphold God's standard for elected office?
Well, that response right there, I think, to me shows why you are a standard bearer and why your voice is so appreciated by many in Iowa and all across the country. Bob Vanderplaats, President and CEO of The Family Leader, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today, and we're all applauding you and your team's efforts in Iowa.
That's a blessing, Nate. And just so you know, your neighbors to the east were cheering you on and praying you up all the time.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Bob.
All right. God bless you, friend.
For more information on the work of family policy councils all across the country, including the Nebraska Family Alliance right here in our state, visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join the movement to advance family, freedom, and life here in our state and across the entire country. We have an opportunity here in Nebraska right now to get our own major pro-life victory if our pro-life majority in our state legislature can hold strong and have the resolve to keep the Title X provision in the state budget bill. Again, this will be debated by the full legislature this Tuesday. Title X is a federal grant program. The state of Nebraska distributes hundreds of thousands of dollars every year to health clinics, and currently, abortion providers are the number one recipient of those funds, your taxpayer dollars. The Title X provision in the state budget would provide much-needed clarity and accountability and require separation of Title X services from abortion-related activity. And this would ensure that our taxpayer dollars are not going to support the abortion industry here in Nebraska. You can get all of this information at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Please take the time this week to send an email or make a phone call to the office of your state senator and ask them to support the Title X provision in the state budget bill and to stand for life here in our state. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.